Thank you so much. I'll open the card a little later if that's okay. I want to say a few things before I get into the message. But I want to get into the message because I like it. I think it's a good one. I hope it's a good one. I want to say publicly that I thank the Lord. I appreciate his divine hand of guidance on our business meeting last week. I appreciate, as Audrey mentioned, the diligence with which Don does everything he does. And I so appreciate the church's desire to recognize him for that. I really do. As his mom, that meant a lot to me. I was also very humbled by the confidence that the church showed in me. And I'm very aware that I'm not the norm. Probably have never been the norm in my entire life. And as you know, I've always been in a support role behind the scenes, and it's where I was comfortable. So this has been a bit of a leap to be not behind the scenes. But I also think that the Lord has been preparing me for something. I didn't know what, of course, but by the, you know, recent start of writing and presenting blogs to you and other places and people, filling in for Jim when he was sick. But still, as most pastors can, I can't point to a point in time and say, God called me here, or God called me at that point, because that's not been my experience, as you well know. But I do know, without a doubt, the Lord knows where we are at all times. And he has our heart, he has our lives solely in his hand and in his care. And we're going to talk about that more in a little bit. And I'm not one bit more capable today than I was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or 3 months or 6 months, whatever. But I will tell you that I am asking the Lord every day to do a work in me that he would be proud of and approve. So thank you for your love and your support. I really appreciate it. This past week has had a lot of things happen. What day was the marathon at church all day, Don? Was it Monday? Yeah. When we had the air conditioner or the heater fixed? I don't even remember what day. Wednesday? Thursday? I don't know. I was here from 8:30 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon because we had the heater fixed. Not only did we have this heater fixed, we had to have the heater in there fixed because it was also broken. But I want to tell you what happened to this heater. I was in this room here, and I was working on this message and minding my own business while the guy was roaming around doing his thing. And he went outside and he came back in, and he had this little brass piece in his hand. And he said, "Well, I found the problem." And I said, "That's the problem? Solid brass little tube about that big around and maybe that tall." He said, "Yes, I'll show you." And he set it on the table in front of me. And I saw what appeared to be, looked a lot like a coffee filter. Really, it did. With a hole punched in the middle of it. And the edges of the hole were sticking up. And I said, oh, is that hole the problem? And he said, yes and no. A spider built a nest in this piece, and the spider broke through its own web to get out and crawled away when he disconnected it from the air, or from the heater unit. And that's what caused this heater to be broken. So it took him hours to find and fix this one. It was working fine. As you can tell, it's perfectly comfortable this morning. And then he said, well, it's been a while since I've looked at the one for the kitchen. And I said, you know, it takes hours for it to come up to temperature. He said, I better go up in the attic and look at it. Well, unknown to me, we've got three heating units in this church, two in here and one in there. And the one in there is in the attic. And he proceeded to tell me that the last time he was up there, he saw a nest of squirrels. And I'm like, okay, well, so that wasn't the first nest of squirrels that we've had. But anyway, he found the problem with that. It was called a limiter switch or some such thing as that, just a round dial. And I said, is it expensive? And he said, no. And he said, but I have to find one. So he took off, and that's why I was here for hours and hours and hours. He found it, brought it back, and fixed it, and all is well. And that heater pumps the heat out now. It's very warm in there compared to what it was. So that's the, between squirrels and spiders, what else can we experience? Thank you. Okay, back to normal stuff here. I don't think this will take too long. 2 weeks ago, as I was preparing the message for our friend's funeral, I read this passage of scripture, and it pierced my heart to the core, literally to the core. I don't know if I'm going to be able to even talk about this without tears, because the Lord just started birthing this in my heart. And I read it over and over and over again, and I listened to at least three, maybe four sermons. One of them I listened to twice. On this same passage, I read four commentaries, but I went to prayer and I said, Lord, I don't want to deliver anybody else's message. I want you to give me the words, the interpretation of this scripture in a way that you approve of. And hopefully today that's what we have. So let's pray. Lord, I just simply ask you to bless this word. I ask you to build faith in our hearts by means of this word. And I ask you, Lord, to fill me to capacity with the Spirit of the Lord to deliver it. Anoint me, anoint the ears, and anoint your word as it already is to complete its work. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. I'm going to be reading Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. Obviously, this is a very familiar portion of scripture. I'm sure we can all recite it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He's my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Where is the secret place? Who can go there? And how do you get in? Well, let's look at that, but first we're going to look at the first few words of that passage. He that, or he who. Some versions say he that, King James does. Other versions say he who. This passage is so beautiful. It's so poetic. It's very encouraging. And it's without limitation on the he that. There's no number, there's no limit, there's no qualification. It just says, he that. I love that. Either way, whether it's he that or he who, the ball is in our court to go there. It's not a decree, it's not an order, but it's an open invitation to come. Dwelleth, or dwells, some versions says one, some say the other, but both forms of this word are present tense. Dwelleth means you're doing it right now, and dwells means the same, you're doing it right now. Webster's defines a dwelling as a building or a place of shelter to live in, a place of residence, abode, or home. Now, our earthly dwelling can be huge or tiny. It can be clean or not so clean. But regardless, it's home. It's where we're comfortable, where we're welcome, where we're wanted. Moses talks about a different kind of dwelling place. In Psalm 90, verse 1, one chapter before, Moses wrote, most people believe Moses wrote all of Psalm 90 through 99, but he talks about the Lord being our dwelling place for many generations. Actually, it says for all generations. And Psalm 84 says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you, Selah. So to dwell means to abide. It's not a vacation spot that we visit a couple times a year, or a spa where we go to be pampered. When we abide, we are there to do the work. Morning, daytime, nighttime, and that's the meaning here. Our dwelling place is in our God, a place of familiarity, a place to be in fellowship with Him. Then we come to the secret place. This part is also conditional. There are requirements to gain access to God's secrets. I learned that He doesn't give them away for free. It requires that the dweller desires with their whole heart and seeks with abandon the intimacy with the presence of God in this dwelling place. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. And there are many scriptures about God and His secrets. I found it interesting that one camp of scholars believes that the secret place is Jesus Christ Himself. And I can certainly fall in line with this line of thinking, because we know that only those who come through the blood of Christ have access to the Father. Ephesians 2:18, for through Jesus Christ we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. But another camp believes that the secret place is simply the presence of God. And I can agree with this one also, because within the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. And you remember that the cherubim on either side of the covenant, the ark, with their, with their wings sheltering the mercy seat. And God sat on the mercy seat and communed with the priests as they came into the place, the holy place. Psalm 31:20 says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men, and thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. So no matter which hypotheses you agree with, or like me, you can be fickle and agree with both of them, there are immeasurable blessings reserved for he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That's the next few words. Psalm 97:9, for you, Lord, and in this place where Lord is written, it is Yahweh, the highest level of names of God, the Most High, or El Elyon, one of the names for God, over all the earth, and you are raised high over all gods. Exodus 15:11, who is like unto thee, Lord, among gods? Acts 7:48-49, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Saith the prophet, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. We don't have to do anything or be anything to enter into the secret place. As a matter of fact, God always makes a point to invite the broken, the damaged, and he wants them to come to him. We can feel his presence in this secret place, and we know he's already there when we come, because the Bible tells us that he is diligent concerning his people. We can also play the relationship card, because we are his children. My kids have access to my house by a code that unlocks the front door. I was going to say I gave them the code, but I think he gave me the code. They simply put in the code and the door opens, and they're welcome, they're wanted, they're loved, especially when they help me with technology day after day after day after day. Oh, thank you. So it is with our Father God. He wants us to come in. But I believe we have to have some fundamental truths established in our hearts before we can expect to connect with that level of intimacy. Remember, God doesn't give away the secrets for free. It will cost us something. I believe that we have to passionately believe that God is supreme. And when we say God is supreme, it can hurt. It means he does all things well, whether we like them or we don't. Whether they hurt us or they don't. But we know that his ways are perfect and that his ways are so much higher than our ways. And there's no other God besides Jehovah. Number two, we have to know that he is in control of all things. Colossians 1:17 says that he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And I looked up what that word means, and it means held together. In him all things are held together. This tells us with assurance, God is not pacing the floor of heaven, wringing his hands, saying, oh no, what am I going to do now? He has it under control. Psalm 2:17 says that he laughs at the wicked and he holds them in derision. He has a plan for the wicked and the righteous, and I believe he can take care of me. We also have to passionately praise him. How little does it take to steal our praise? Not much. But his word assures us that praise drives out Satan and draws in God every single time. Passionate praise is contagious. People see praisers and want to be like them and say, I want to praise God with that kind of abandon. I want to just let go and speak words that means something to God. It's an addiction that we can safely pursue. The Bible says that the will of the Father in Christ Jesus concerning us is that we praise Him in all things. Psalm 91 goes on to list blessing after blessing after blessing to those who dwell in that secret place. Deliverance, covering, protection. You know this familiar passage very well, and I'm not going to spend much time on the blessing, because the point is that the blessings come kind of like getting loyalty points from a hotel or a frequent flyer miles from an airline from spending time in the secret place with God. We enter the portals of His secret place through the blood of Jesus. That's the cost. Jesus paid that price, and He gave it to us for free. We hold Him in the highest esteem, and we offer sacrifice of praise, and He graciously meets us there. I've asked Don to play a very short clip. I listened to this, I can't remember when it was, one of these days this last week, and it really affected me because it helped me see God as the supreme God in control of all things, and it helped me praise Him passionately, and I hope it does you too, and we'll pray after this clip. While this is getting loaded up, this is Sandy Patty. Everybody knows Sandy Patty and her father.
Well, we're gonna stand over here by Mom because she always makes us sound good. Well, Dad, how many years have we been singing this?
Since you were in high school.
I was in high school.
However long that's been.
Well, I remember 2-3 years. But I remember when I was a little girl, and you would sing this song with someone in the choir.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't wait for the day till I got to sing it with you. So it is just a real special
pleasure. My pleasure. My pleasure.
Who starts?
You start.
I start. He's still telling me what to do. I love it. The Bible tells me of God's love and His great wisdom all the way through.
Yet every little precious child is a testimony to. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when God saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole. It took a miracle of love and grace. Oh,
If that can't help us praise the Lord, I don't know what can. It certainly touched me. Let's just spend a minute praising him. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that we have confidence that you are the all-supreme God. We thank you, Lord, that you've invited us. You haven't restricted a one from coming to you who believes, Lord. We give you praise and glory and honor today. We thank you for meeting us in this place. We thank you for meeting us every time we come with praise, with open hearts and open minds and open arms to praise you, Lord. How we thank you, Jesus. We honor your name. We bless your name today. Go with us, Lord, and be with us this week. I pray, Lord, that we would find ourselves in that secret place with you more and more, and that we would know the familiarity with communion with God. For it's there that you restore our hearts, Lord. It's there that you restore bodies and that you restore relationships. It's there, Lord, that you cause us to live in a way that the world can see you through us. For that's what we're here for, Lord, to point to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You might be interested to know that as soon as I listened to this, I also listened to Kanye West's new album. And I have to tell you, I was shocked. I would prefer this, but it is not bad. It talks about Jesus all over the place, living right, trusting in God, praising God. He has a gospel choir singing along with him. I was really shocked. I'm not saying, I don't know what his soul condition is. I know what his testimony of late has been, but I was impressed with the music. So there you go. Like I said, I'm not the norm.